שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא התקפה על החיבור. נמשיך לקרוא מציטוט 23.
We're in a lesson on the attack towards connection. As always, you can ask questions on Kab.TV or relevant questions may be aired during the lesson.
The purpose of creation is the connection of all the created beings, the shattered kli vessel of Adam HaRishon, which we need to discover the extent of its shattering, its size, magnitude, the style of the shattering, the depth, and the manner of the shattering. It's not some inert, inanimate matter that was shattered. Rather, a system that was built in accordance with the light was shattered. Havaya. And it shattered because within the system, a desire that goes against Havaya was discovered, exactly opposite the Creator, the Creator's desire, which is in the Havaya. So the shattering is between these two forces, these opposing forces, the only two forces in nature. Therefore, when we want to connect, to try to make an effort to connect, we're attacking towards the connection. Because even to come closer, to approach the implementation of that connection, well, we find that we're unwilling, we're confused, unready, there is something hindering us in our minds and hearts. We don't understand exactly what we lack in order to approach this. From a distance, far away, there are such systems, mechanisms, fields, force fields that repel us with all sorts of discernments to the effect that we don't know how to approach connection. For years, we remain in a state where we want to approach it and we don't, and we want to and we don't. And when we begin to climb the mountain of the Lord, then we begin to identify the guards more clearly, those who push us away from the mountain.
And
so in that also, we feel ourselves always as weak, and the desire awakens, but there is no power to fulfill it. There is no understanding. There is certainly no perseverance. And here it's written that we need to constantly address the Creator. And they sighed and they cried, the children of Israel, and they don't know what to do. Until they compel the Creator, and He, as it is written, the Lord shall finish the work for me. He performs this action, brings us connection. And all in all, the work is opposite these negative forces, which the Creator wanted to disclose to us, as the advantage of flight out of darkness, so that we, from the negative force, are able to discover the positive forces. The positive forces
which
are part of the Creator's power, the power of connection, the force of bestowal, the force of love.
Then
we begin to fulfill this primary Havaya, this first Havaya, on our part, from above downwards, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we are the opposite, from below upwards. And then we reach completion. And in that completion, when we build the vessel for that first Havaya, by so doing, we reveal the name of the Lord in all the worlds. So there exists not only the inclination towards connection, the attack towards connection, but the construction of systems, the obtainment of more vessels, the study on the path, the study of what obstructs us and what helps us. We need to actually build a whole nation here, the new world. So let's hope that we'll understand the importance of this work, and it is the only work, the only work in all of reality. Now we're in a state where we're making an effort for the first time to actually do it within the last generation. Please.
Excerpt number 23 from Rabash, what it means that the good inclination and the bad inclination guard a person in the work. When a person wants to walk on the path of achieving dvikut with the Creator and do all his work for the sake of the Creator, meaning to bestow contentment upon his Maker, and not for his own sake, as it is against human nature, who was created with the will to receive for his own sake, and all of man's work is that he is told that he will not obtain this by his own strength, but only the Creator can give him this power called desire to bestow. And a person should only prepare the kli to receive this power called second nature. It follows that specifically through the evil inclination, which grows within him to its completion, a person sees his real deficiency, that he is unable to obtain the desire to bestow by himself. This brings him to a state where the Creator gives him the desire to bestow.
נמצא שאין היצר טוב בין היצר הרע.
Thus both the good inclination and the evil inclination lead a person to achieve the goal of equivalence of form called Dvekut with the Creator.
But on the way there, we need to understand that there are going to be many obstructions. We need to see what they are. There is none as wise as the experience. There is a car repairman, and he worked on thousands of cars with multiple problems of all kinds. And after that, he's called an expert of experience. And then you can bring him any malfunction, and he will know how to contend with it. It's the same here. The problem is, though, that there aren't expert car mechanics here. Rather, each and every one of us must integrate with all of these disruptions, all of the shatterings, all of the malfunctions, because specifically due to the multitude of malfunctions and lack of success and all of that, we magnify the light within the corrected kli. And the more broken, the more shattered it appears, and the further away the shattered parts seem to be from one another and opposite one another and so on, they have disconnection and shattering on very deep levels, separation, distance. So in accordance with that, our corrected vessel will be complex and reveal more of the Creator to us, because it needs, by its oviut, thickness, to disclose the full non-chai. And then, from the correction of the Kli, we need to understand how all of these different qualities combine together in the different, in particular, havayot. There's an inner havaya in every state, and it's also shattered in a myriad of ways, and so on. There is very careful, very meticulous work here, and the rule and the particular are complementary, always. Questions? None.
מאיפה אנחנו מגיעים למצב שרק הבורא יכול לעזור לנו?
Where do we reach a state where only the Creator can help us? From where do I get this knowledge, this understanding and feeling that only the Creator can help me? Not me, not time, and not anything. The friends who are here. Only the Creator can help. In a very weird, strange way, I just get power from him. If I demand it, if I request it. When do I begin to understand that it is so? That this is the only way it can work. That truly the expert, that mechanic, that repairman, the true one, is the upper force.
Kadima.
Please, go on.
דווקא מתוך ריבוי הכישלונות, האכזבות, אי ההצלחות.
Specifically from the multitude of successes, failures, and the lack of successes and failures, not that we aim that way, but that's how we come to need the Creator.
Yes, it's written here in the text that only when a person reaches a state where he can't do it alone, by himself, and he's unworthy and unable to do it, then the Creator gives him that nature. And it can be approached from two directions, either the path of suffering, where one receives many punishments and blows, or, as Rav said, when we integrate together and experience this together and hasten the times, which is called the path of Torah.
It's a combination of necessity and despair.
Necessity, needing the Creator, yes? When you see that nothing becomes of you, you're trying to do something and you just keep seeing how everything gets worse and worse, and you're lost, then you begin to open your ears to the words of the Kabbalists who say that only the Creator can help.
As a Kabbalist, we go on the path of hastening time, not the path of suffering. So that means always working on his greatness and appreciation and faith in the upper force. And from this work, the light begins to influence.
In that form of work, in the same state, we don't have need for the Creator. Only if we add, then we see that we need His help. Otherwise, we fall backwards.
Yeah, amazingly, every day you have to crash again and make efforts and only despair in the end and ask the Creator.
And as student mechanics, we're given all sorts of instances of success, and we can see how good we are at our profession. But gradually we're shown that there are increasingly complex situations, and our success there, it's not due to what we did, but rather we were encouraged, as beginners are encouraged. And gradually we understand that only the reforming light is the one capable of achieving this correction, which we thought we may achieve ourselves.
Therefore, we always have to make the calculation of where we are in relation to the connection, and not to blur or run away from the true state we need to achieve. And as long as we haven't achieved it, we shouldn't then settle for little.
Yes, a person needs to reach the state of despair from his own strength. You need to perform many actions for the will to receive, to surrender, to understand that it's not in his capability. It's a state of sweet despair, gladness from the despair, and confidence. These things need to come together. We need to make that effort together.
Yeah, the urgency comes from that integration with the common lack that there is in the ten, and the despair comes from the common work that doesn't reach it, that doesn't reach that degree of connection.
There's also the process of the light's influence on the person, which gradually clears away his idea that he can perform something, do something by himself, and instead establishes a dependency only on the Creator.
Also working on the faith that it's truly like that. Quote number 24, from what it means in the work that if the good grows, so grows the bad. In the beginning of the work, during the Ibul, meaning when a person begins to shift from the work of the general public to the work of individuals, the bad immediately begins to appear in him. However, it is not so apparent. Yet when he begins to ascend in the work and begins to grow, as it is written, the boys grew to the extent and order of the growth, so grows the evil. According to the measure of the good that he does, so grows the measure of the evil in him. As was said, so he will be half guilty, half innocent. Now we can understand what Rashi interpreted and explained. Another interpretation, struggling with each other and quarreling about the inheritance of two worlds. We should understand for what purpose there needs to be a quarrel between them. It is, as our sages said, Rabbi Levi said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. Rashi explains that he would wage war against the evil inclination. We need to understand what is the purpose of this war. Would it not be better if a person saw that the bad in him did not awaken? Why does he need to awaken it and fight it? It would be better if he did not risk himself, for he might not be able to defeat it. As our sages said, one must not put oneself in danger. In the work, when we want to achieve bestowal, we must say that when we perform mitzvot or engage in Torah, that we want to do everything with the aim to bestow. This is called vexing the good inclination over the evil inclination. Since when a person says to his body, we must work for the sake of the Creator and not for your own sake, the body immediately becomes angry and resists with all its might. It tells him, you can do anything, but for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake. This is out of the question. It follows that if he does not vex it, he will never be able to achieve the truth.
We need
to never forget this, that we have business only with two divisions, two forces, two forms, never one without the other. The advantage of light out of darkness and the advantage of darkness out of light. That's how it needs to be. The good and evil inclinations are always fighting over the person until they make peace, and the person needs to bring them to complement each other, to make peace. And so each of them grows in a proportional manner to the other. The good can't grow without the evil growing, and vice versa. It's the same way we can't use electricity if there's no minus or plus in a battery. We can't generate it without a plus and minus. Only when both work together, then they can show their effect. So one force doesn't exist in nature. It may be concealed to us, as we don't see where the corresponding second force is. But to activate the good force without the evil, it's impossible. And the evil is never disclosed without the good. It's certain that where there is evil, then somewhere deposited or buried is the good force concealed. And so our work is in how to make these forces become apparent and revealed, to see how they come opposite one another and on what conditions they can be connected together, complementary. And then how we can use them both for one purpose. The Creator doesn't belong to the good or the bad powers. We, as the created beings, can discover Him only by using these two opposing forces. We can see the light over the darkness, the power of love and bestowal, over the power which comes against it, of reception and hatred, and so on. And so we need to relate to these two things equally, two facets perhaps. We need to be above the good and evil forces, the force of reception and bestowal, the forces of light and darkness. We need to be above them and to use them in order to discover the Creator, in order to give Him contentment by so doing. And so we can't make a preference. We can't prefer one force over the other. Rather, the correct way to relate to these two forces, which is constructive, is where we're above them and we don't affiliate with either. And that's the correct state. So how do we, in a group, try to build a system of relationships which can truly serve the purpose of the revelation of creation of divinity, and to use correctly the love, the hatred, the will to bestow, the will to receive, light and darkness. Please.
That's why we're in a group where everyone is completely different from the other, and try to accept everything as a single reality coming from a single force, and not to cancel anything or correct something ourselves.
That's one direction. We're going towards love and connection between us, and over that, hatred and separation are revealed and discovered. And we continue to go in the direction of the good. And by that, we complete a whole revolution whereby we can be in contact with the Creator and use these two forces, but we're always advancing towards the good.
We always swing between these states of good and evil, and when we turn to the Creator, it's the correct address when we rise above both these forces.
It's a question. In order to truly feel that the Creator doesn't belong to these two forces, or rather they don't pertain to Him, we, and not to prefer one force over the other. It sounds emotionally detached. I can't understand what it means that neither of these forces pertain to the Creator and only by combining them correctly.
We have to be aimed at the goal, and all the definitions and everything aligns with it. And whatever appears in the path will appear.
Yes, it's a form of equivalence of form, to be above these two forces. A person needs to some extent, feel disconnected from his self, that he's above it, like a scientist, an examiner, examining life from the side, to see how happiness and sadness and all these states going over the I, the self, how it happens, and to just try to be as close to the power of the soul as he can.
And man's ability to do these things depends on the connection of mutual guarantee that exists within the ten. Because when these turbulences come, then without the root that holds everyone above these states and gives this edge of the rope, then without it, it's impossible.
Relationships need to be such. Well, they need to be according to what Rabash says about relationships between the friends. The problem is that perhaps this is in the preparatory, the stage of preparation, and different things are disclosed.
Quote number 2025,
Bala Sulam, Shemati 121, she's like merchant ships. In the verse, she's like the merchant ships, she bringeth her bread from afar. When one demands and insists that she is all mine, that all the desires will be dedicated to the Creator, the Sitra Acha awakens against him and claims, she is all mine, too. And then there is trade-off. A trade-off, or bargaining, means that one wants to buy a certain object and the buyer and seller debate its worth, meaning each of them claims that he is right. And here the body examines to whom it is worthwhile to listen, to the receiver or to the giving force. Both clearly argue, she is all mine. And since one sees one's own lowliness, that in him too there are sparks that do not agree to observe the Torah and commandments, even as a dot on the iota, but that the whole body argues, she is all mine, then she bringeth her bread from afar. This means that from the removals, when one sees how far one is removed from the Creator and regrets it, and asks the Creator to bring him closer, then she bringeth her bread. Bread means faith. In that state, one is awarded with permanent faith, since God hath made it so that men should fear before him. This means that all the removals that one feels were brought to him by the Creator, so he would have the need to assume the fear of heaven. This is the meaning of that man doth not live by bread only, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. This means that the life of Kedusha, of sanctity, within one does not come specifically from drawing closer, from entrances, that is, admissions into Kedusha, but also from the exits, from the removals. This is so because through the dressing of the Sitra Acha in one's body, where it claims, she is all mine, with the just argument, one is awarded permanent faith by overcoming these states. This means that one should unite everything with the Creator. That is, that even the exits come from Him. And when he is rewarded, he sees that both the exits and the entrances were all from Him.
We have great work of relating everything that happens to us to the Creator. And also our success in relating to the Creator. And what happens is we have no other work besides with Him. We even have to do like a revision, an inspection, a scrutiny, more and more of how we talk, so it changes in a way that gradually the Creator is doing everything. For instance, say in regards to the connection between us, like we have these songs about carrying the friend, like in the battlefield, or in climbing the mountain to the king's palace, etc. It's not me doing all of that. It's not me singing and informing my love. Rather, it's how much I can awaken the upper force who does it. Meaning, we're not heroes. Rather, the Creator is the only hero. We have to change our emphasis. Who are we talking about? And who are we aiming at? And who is the operator of everything? Both on the bad side, preparing everything for us to need Him and then come to good. Questions? Yes.
We can see if we work in a way of seeking connection according to the method, then necessarily rejection to it, repulsion will come. And as time goes on and we understand it, then we fear to advance because we know that there's going to be this repulsion.
Yeah, so what do we do with it?
Yes, so recently you've been talking about trying to work with that resistance. Now, here it's a little harder to understand. It becomes more subtle, more sensitive. Within the 10, how to work with that thing of, well, how to work with the resistance in order to invoke the light, to bring it out of darkness, as you said.
We as though hold the process with two reins. We sit in the cart, the horse is ahead of us, holding the reins, and let's go. And that's incorrect. Altogether, with every problem that surfaces, I have to turn to the operating force, and he has to do it. Only that way. And if we, on the spot, want to fix something, the littlest thing, so what, we have a force of correction? We have our own light that reforms. So, we have to take into account what's called that the Creator won't be foreign to you, a foreign force. In one part of the action, we reveal the corruption. In the other part, we turn to Him to fix it. That's always the case. Yes, more?
Yeah. Say that everything comes from the Creator, that's one thing. To feel it.
Control.
It's not under your control. The Creator hasn't yet given you that sensation.
And you have to try to remember that it all comes from the Creator.
Is it possible to explain? Can you explain?
There's nothing to explain here. You have to make such actions so that I will get used to relating to the Creator everything that happens with me, both good and bad.
So, in what way can you succeed in that?
In a way that the group helps me, and I constantly make exercises with me, that whatever happens comes from the Creator. In each and every moment in life, in each and every thought and desire and action.
So to say this to yourself, without feeling it, is it possible to
say it without feeling in order to eventually acquire the feeling?
What is it called? Why is it called to say it if you say it without feeling? How do you say it at all?
So you say it without feeling all the time. All the time, every minute, with everything that happens, that's what you have to say. Say.
What does it mean to say?
To say, pa 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 pa.
Yes, everyone can say it with their mouth.
I don't know about anyone. I'm telling you to say it.
Okay, so with my mouth I can say it, but I don't tell it to myself.
That's enough for your mouth.
And that helps. That really helps in order to draw the light, to truly attain it.
I don't know. I'm telling you what to do. What will come out of it, I don't know, and I don't want to know. I'm just giving you an exercise, and you have to do it. There's no question here. You're told, do it. No, I have to know how it works, and I have to know how it operates. Maybe this way, maybe better that way. Give me the complete knowledge. Give me the wisdom behind it. Then maybe I'll convince myself. No.
But to say it to yourself.
To say it? Yeah, say words.
To say it even if you feel that you're against it?
We aren't talking about your feelings yet. No one cares about what you feel. You say it comes from the Creator.
Just with the mouth.
Do you have another way to talk?
To tell yourself is with your thoughts, in my thoughts.
I don't know about thoughts. To talk means to open your mouth and utter with your mouth.
So it doesn't relate to how you feel about it?
As you always say, without any mind, without any feeling, any attitude, and then you say something you can't even hear. Okay, say it like that. That's a good example for a person that until I understand, until I'm convinced, until I feel, until it's really, really like that in my mind and my donkey agrees to it, from its nose to its tail, until it agrees with everything I say, then I don't say. And you constantly hear, that doesn't matter. But what you have to say, in a way that you do it deliberately without any reason and mind, no. That's where you resist. Your whole life you live like a donkey and you don't know what you're doing. That doesn't matter. But here it matters. The evil inclination is the one who resists and demands proof. Yes.
Ray from Florida is asking, he writes here about constant faith, permanent faith. Is permanent faith a certain measure of attainment?
Faith in permanency, that's something very lofty. It's a person who received the force of the light that works in him and holds him at a certain spiritual degree. And a person holds that force of the light. It's not that he can leave and the faith remains. We always have to be equipped with coarseness and the screen on it. So if I have this certain coarseness and I'm above it with the screen, then it means that my faith, the force of bestowal, is permanent, that I can already relate to the system that appears in a style of a system of bestowal. It's already a new mind, a new emotion, a new attitude to the world. I see what's happening in a style of bestowal and not reception. That is something that cannot be described.
Another question from a student from Israel. You said that I can invoke the upper force and it does the work. So what do we actually do? What's under our control?
In our control is to awaken the upper light, to perform, to do it. What else? We only work to awaken the upper force. Something's broken. I don't know what's broken. I need light to come and show me the corruption. Awaken the upper force. When it comes, I see there's such a corruption that I can't handle. First, I thought this wasn't the problem. I thought the problem was I can't connect, come closer. That too is a force of corruption. What exactly is the corruption? What exactly needs to be the correction? How to do the correction? By what requests to make the correction? How will it look like after it's done? All those things, I need to receive them from above step by step. And I have to raise man for each and every step. Each and every one. We think that it just happens by itself. It doesn't. Our work towards the goal has to be always consistently in a demand for the Creator. Bringing contentment to the Creator is by pulling Him into each and every action by which you crown Him. He is the operator. Doesn't matter on what level, doesn't matter in what actions, they could be the dirtiest actions. He himself set them up for you, and you attract him to correct that. Next.
Shamati 36, what are the three bodies in man? It is written, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge, sustenance was not dependent on the bread. That is, there was no need to extend light and sustenance, but it illuminated. However, after the sin, when Adam Rishon has been affixed to the serpent's body, the life had been tied in with the bread, meaning with the nourishment, that one must always draw anew. And if they are not given nourishment, they die. And this became a great correction in order to be saved from those two bodies. Thus, one must try with all of one's might not to think thoughts that concern them. And perhaps, this is what our sages said, thoughts of transgression are harsher than a transgression, because thoughts are their nourishment. In other words, they receive sustenance from the thoughts one thinks for them. Hence, one must think only for the inner body, for it is a clothing for the soul of Kedusha. That means that one should think thoughts that are after one's skin, meaning after the body's skin, that is called outside one's body, meaning outside of one's own benefit, but rather only thoughts for benefiting others, and this is called after one's skin. This is so because after one's skin, there is no grip for the klipot, the shells. For the klipot hold only that which is within one's skin, meaning that which belongs to one's body and not outside one's body, which is called outside one's skin. That means that they possess anything that comes within the clothing of the body, and they cannot hold anything that is not clothed within the body. And when one keeps thinking thoughts which are beyond his skin, he is awarded with, as it is written, and after my skin they shall make it, and from my flesh I shall witness the Creator. This is the aspect of the Holy Divinity, which is after one's skin. Nakfu, meaning after it was corrected, to stand beyond one's skin. And then one is awarded with the aspect of, from my flesh I shall witness the Creator, meaning that divinity comes clothed in the internality of the guf, of the body. And this is precisely when one agrees to work after one's skin, meaning without clothing. However, the wicked, who want to work precisely in the time where there are clothings within the body, which is called within the skin, then it is written, and they shall die without wisdom. For then they have no clothing, and they are not awarded with anything. However, the righteous, they are awarded with clothing in the body.
It
talks about by what actions again and again one can position himself in spirituality. As he passes in small portion the treasury of the king from one place to a new place, a new country. That's what he does until he moves everything. But he's trying to have faith that this is the correct work. The old country is inside of me. It's inside each and every one. I was very concerned about it. I was collecting all the good things there. It's all my possession. It's all me. It gives me a sense of livelihood, confidence. It's mine. It's just mine. I don't want anyone to touch that. It's all, let's say, inside my body. Suddenly I determine that what's important, that what I want to be important, is actually what's outside of my body. What's outside? The air? No, that's where the others are. And I want to shift everything to them. Then I begin to take each and every part of me, desire and fulfillment, take it out of myself and relate it to everyone. And expect that to become my second country. As I do this work, then I begin to realize that certainly only this form, only this attitude that I have established with the help of the upper force, specifically this way in which I relate to what's outside of me, that is the correct form. That gives me freedom from being tied to my will to receive, from living inside of it, rather being beyond it in the desire to bestow, the degree of Bina. And that is how we move from this world to the upper world. Questions?
No, sham, mishoba.
Yeah, someone there, yeah.
רב, האם הפעולה הזאת של לייחד לבורא?
This action of ascribing things to the Creator, is that the success in taking this little thing and moving it from country to country, and then you need to repeat that action again and again?
Yes, I'm taking from my position to his position.
And what should you do with, well, if you manage to move it for half a second and then it comes back exactly to the place where it started?
Okay, learn from this who you are. Next, Zvika.
You're right here. What does it mean, thoughts for the benefit of others?
You're right. I don't know.
You don't know?
For the benefit of others? I don't know.
Thoughts for the benefit
thoughts?
Of others?
Yeah. Desires, actions.
What is the benefit of others?
The benefit of others is when I feel the others. I feel what they want. And I do everything according to the other's desire. That's it. Now, I myself certainly can't do anything for the other, but I turn to the Creator so that He will give him what he wants. It's as if I tell the Creator, please do him a favor and I'll pay. You understand that? Understand it from this world. Yeah. Say we're friends, we go out of the bar, I'm drunk, I don't know anything, you put me in a taxi, you say, driver, here's $100, take him home.
Naturally, I can't do that, meaning I am unable to.
You can't do such things? Yeah, I believe you.
Internally, I can't. Can you do such a thing internally? To think for the benefit of others? You're just a small egoist. You're unable to.
You make such actions even though you don't want to.
Meaning
like that? Yeah.
It says to think of the inner clothing. Did you say to think only through the inner clothing?
Forget about it, inner, outer. Just example. Understand it and do it. Meaning that instead of the friend, you ask the Creator to make the correction. You can't do it, the friend can't do it, the Creator can. But he can't do it if the friend himself turns to him for the correction. But from your address to the Creator, he'll do it. One shall help his friend.
What is the use of it? I don't understand the benefit of others.
If you have friends and they will ask for you, you'll see what benefit you get from it.
I usually want to get rid of them, not to do good to them, just get rid of them so they won't interrupt me, naturally.
This I don't know. I'm telling you, if you want to advance towards spirituality, it will happen only if the friends ask for you. They turn to the Creator and say, we're paying, help him. And then he does it. Because that is the form of bestowal. How else can it be? Isn't that arvut, don't you think?
I don't know. I need to be honest with myself. With such an action, I need to be honest with myself to see I'm really doing it for their benefit.
This is the upper system, and you're told how it works. A person can never do anything for himself.
Even if I don't feel it towards someone, I need to do it internally to overcome.
You need to accept what the Kabbalists tell you and follow. And then, from doing, from following, you'll have a feeling. It's like a little kid doing what the grown-ups do and then later begins to understand what it is. This is called monkey education. Or monkey training. From your actions, we know you. More questions about it? Yeah.
What does
it mean that the creator is the hero?
There's this joke, you know, is there a rock that the creator can't move? So he's a hero. Meaning that the entire evil inclination can be corrected and transformed to the good inclination. Not into the good inclination, but expressed in a, the good way, used in a good way.
Because usually a person feels that he's the hero in his life.
Yes, and?
Oh, it's like Copernicus. How do I move from a place where I'm the center? How do I switch to a place where the creator is the center?
How to switch? By being beaten and seeing that I'm not the center. That'll happen on the way, don't worry.
Timo from Peter asks, what is the meaning of the shells adhering immediately to the thoughts within the body?
I don't know. I don't know what are the klipot that cling to the thoughts in the body. All of that needs to be interpreted. And if he's trying to make some corporeal portrayal, then it's a kind of a disease you should ask doctors about.
So Carl from Orlando asks, if I don't think it comes from the Creator, where do I think it comes from?
Ask yourself. You're asking me, how do you think where that it, if it doesn't come from the Creator? Come on. These questions are... Who am I? What am I? You want me to explain to you now? All right. Who's there? Yeah.
How?
From a state where one is powerless to act for himself, he gets up and marshals the strength to perform actions for the benefit of his friends.
Specifically in a state where he doesn't have the power of himself, he can have power for his friends. Try and see that these things are unrelated. Yeah. It is a resource of power that is completely different. Doing for others. Not for yourself. All right. Where are we? 27. All right, let's do 27.
Excerpt 27, Rabash, Volume 2, Article 10. What does it mean that the ladder is diagonal in the work? The two lines are needed, for by both we achieve the middle line, for there cannot be a middle line unless there are two lines before it. Therefore, when there is dispute, it can be said that the third one comes and decides between them and makes peace. But if there is no dispute, there is no need to make peace. That is, if we want to have peace, we must first produce a dispute, or there is no room for peace. Yet, the question is, why do we need peace? It would be better, so we understand, if there was no dispute at all, and no need for peace. This is common sense. The answer is that since we have these two opposites in our nature, it follows that this dispute is the reality, for nature has made us this way. Meaning that from the perspective of the purpose of creation, we have a nature that the Creator gave a desire to receive delight and pleasure. And from the perspective of the correction of creation, we must go in the opposite direction, namely to bestow, like the Creator. As He is merciful, so you be merciful. It follows that these two extremes are within us. And what we say is that a dispute is required. As our sages said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. As Rashi interpreted, he should make war with it. This means that one should reveal the evil within him. He does not produce evil through the dispute. Rather, the evil is within us and concealed. And if the light of holiness enters there, the will to receive in us promptly awakens and receives everything for itself. This will immediately go to the side of impurity and the shells. For this reason, we must wage war, by which the evil will come out of its hiding and fight with the good inclination. It follows that specifically through war it becomes revealed, since it wants to fight with the good inclination. When it shows it its real face, the person sees what a high mountain it is and realizes that the only way is to ask the Creator to help him subdue the evil and to be able to work only with the aim to bestow.
Shailat.
Questions?
Before you said that I ask the Creator to do a favor for the friend and I'll pay for it. I'll pay. What is the payment? What do I give in payment?
It doesn't matter. The main thing is to feel that you're ready to cover your turn to the Creator for the friend. You don't just turn to him and ask him to do it. That the Creator is doing it for free. You are willing to do favors for him and everything just so he helps your friend. What?
Which war is he talking about? The war between the good inclination and the bad inclination?
Control. Control over man.
How do you do that? How do you start such a war?
When a person checks what is speaking in him.
What does it mean? What am I supposed to do?
What am I thinking? What am I understanding? What am I feeling? How do I listen? How do I speak? What's motivating me? My thought on a good future, on a good state, on gaining, succeeding, acquiring more confidence in every state and so on? Or am I only thinking these things towards a group? Only towards a group, constantly, outside of me.
So it means to discover that I'm in constant argument, constant dispute between these two things?
Yes, those two discernments in you have to be an argument and constantly pass everything towards the many.
And a person cannot do this. Then he needs...
So you have somebody to turn to, also the friends to help you in Avot, and also to the Creator.
And that is the war?
No more. That little area.
So from myself and thinking about myself to shift that thought towards the friends and the Creator.
Yeah. Yesterday we were speaking about the Congress. Did you get any results from that lesson? Is there anything to hear? New things, how to advance, what to do? But in a short, brief, to the point. No, I see that on yesterday's lesson, today there's a burdening of the head, the burdening of the heart, burdening in all areas. Yes.
Yesterday, there was an assignment to send suggestions to the mail, and we received very few emails. So the 10s should take it seriously. 10 number 24, they sent a suggestion of their 10. So perhaps the 10s should discuss it and during the week send us as many suggestions as possible. We do need it.
That is correct. But today's state, that there's some sleepiness, heaviness, brief, like fog. You understand it? Yes or no? I can't see. Even to understand it, it's difficult. What do you think? How can we come out of this? How to not agree with this state? Is there anything to recommend or not?
This is exactly what we're talking about today, to connect everything to Him and ask Him to do this change for us. It is a blessed thing. We worked during the night, during the lesson, during Yeshivat Chavirim. And if these are the fruits, then we have something to turn to Him with.
So how to do it?
Every 10 should gather, should pray together.
How?
I think in the time that every 10 have when it meets during the day to scrutinize that, turn it to the Creator. This is something internal. This is not something you can just say. This is something that we need to create between us, such a request, such a prayer.
Let's do this right now. Simple. Let's speak about it, that what we have, we got from the Creator. Come on. In a very intense, quick, within 1 minute, everybody says that everything he has now, the burdening of the heart towards the friends, helplessness, fogginess in his brain, emptiness in the heart, that it's all from the Creator. We have somebody to blame. Please.
Yeah, we really are very fortunate.
Yeah, I know that to blame somebody is something you can do.
Yeah, everything is revealed by the Creator in order to awaken us to connect between us.
Yeah, we have to say thank you for awaking us. On the other hand, we have to pray to continue this state. To answer for that state he put before us.
It's indeed a miracle to see how the Creator arranges such a state for us, the state we're in. Just for example, to compare where we were yesterday in Yeshivat Chavirim, what a great excitement, up to tears of the friends, and now we're like this. So obviously it's the upper force that is playing with us this way, once we're up and once we're down.
Connection, less of connection, despair, hope, it all comes from the Creator, so we'll see the source of everything.
And we are grateful for Him for that state. I hear what Rav says. I feel what the friends are going through, but I have a bit different feeling in this table, either because we are next to this table or because you're so great. So I feel that effort above the heaviness, above the tiredness, above the to really make an effort. We have to be grateful for that state and to put it into every action, even the filthiest.
Yeah, all the things that go through a person are only born from the Creator, because there's no other force in reality.
It's always good to have someone to blame. And we have to point a blaming finger to the Creator, come to him with a complaint and a demand, like a child complains to his parents, he blames them. So we have to do the same. And on the other hand, we have to be grateful for this reminder that we can be remembered that the Creator is activating us and that we can turn to him.
I don't know what to say to the Creator. He just makes a more and more of a rag. At least he's keeping us connected to him and letting us keep accumulating positive and negative discernments. Love, what did the Creator give us such a mood for today? What's its purpose? Obviously, I am the first. He is cooking everything. Why did he put such a mood in us today? Well, it's always advancement. We raise in sanctity. Come on. What did he do it for?
First of all, it comes out of complete love, because we can go above reason to be like him and to be grateful for it.
That will pay attention that the feeling changes, but he who gives the feeling doesn't change. It always comes from the Creator, and only by constantly ascribing everything to him and adhering to him.
Yeah, to teach us one state, where it doesn't matter what our mood is, we should always be grateful to him, and above every state to keep on asking for each and every friend.
So we will need him.
He wants to show us that even if we're directed towards connection, we cannot do it ourselves, and we need to turn to him so that he will complete the action for us.
Yeah, just like there's one source, there's also one intention and one goal that we feel, as much as we're low, as much as our forces, that we're not really doing anything. I hear very different answers from people. What answers do we have from what we got today from the heaviness? That it's on purpose. It came from the Creator. In order to? Opportunity in order to us to turn to him, in order to turn to society. What else did I hear there? Many different opinions. So what should we do? Everyone with his own opinion? Come on. How can we, that we got different opinions, different impressions on the heaviness of the heart that we have today, can we work? Maybe it's right that we are doing it, but are we supposed to do this, or is it enough that each one does it? What does each one do with his own opinion that he thinks he should behave in a certain personal way? How all these forms may be connect so we can connect in a different quality of each one alone. What do we do? Please.
Diversity and contradiction, this is what forces us even more to look for the Creator, because he alone can unite all those things together. Anyway, what we're saying doesn't really matter. What matters is the demand and the necessity for the upper force to pull us out from the place we're in. All the words, it's of no interest.
Yeah, and I think that if we continue chewing this a bit more, so we'll find really quick that we're all speaking about the same thing, that it's being connected to the Creator.
That is the situation, and we need to rise above it to pray to the Creator to save us.
Because we're a whole system, and each one is a point in the system, and the body that's working.
The Creator is operating on the relationship between us, meaning everyone saying his opinion. It's not the point, rather how everyone relates to it, listen to it, and ascribe it to the Creator, and this is where he acts. And if we mix with each other, if we're integrated with each other, then we see him in different ways, and we create a ten, we establish a ten.
Yeah, because in the end, beyond all opinions, we all turn to the Creator, each one in his own opinion, and we're asking for him.
Because also all these different opinions, that too comes from the Creator. And we have to ask for that as well, to create something, not that my opinion will be the right one, definitely it won't, it's not. Rather, we should have a common opinion, a common feeling from which we turn to Him.
Yeah, in the end, the words that come out of everybody's mouth isn't determining. It depends what everybody's inner demand is, and so that's what we have to reach. That has to be equivalent. So, to sum this up, what are we doing today from what we got yesterday? In practice, what are we doing? Talk about it, come on. What response should we give today on what we got from yesterday?
Emil, we have to be grateful for what we have received.
Yeah, the meal, that's the main thing you're thinking. Tomorrow it'll be a request meal. Today it's a gratitude meal. What do we do? How do we? What response can we give on the state we just got? Yesterday we had an awakening. The awakening influenced in such a way that today the Creator brought the opposite. How do we accept it, and how do we respond? There's two stages. One is accepting it, understanding it, scrutinizing it. You have to say thank you for everything, because for sure it's an advancement to the next state. And how do we respond to it? In a clear, mature, realistic way, that we don't cry and we don't surrender. Come on.
Well, Rav gave us pretty much the entire process. We say thank you. We understand that this is an advancement. We're not crying. And we really do bless for that moment. We have to make a greater effort in the direction of connection and the relationship between us, and to understand that there's ups and downs in this path. This is not something new, to make an effort.
I don't know. I feel that there's a very critical point here, and I don't know how to attack it. There's a very great necessity to attack it, and I don't know what to do in order to do something new. So I'll try to follow you. I don't know.
And after we will receive, understand, and so on, and be grateful for it, then we will decide that we do not accept it and that we will attack it. And like Hanoch, I also don't know how, but if we decide that we attack it today, then something will be in the right direction. If we decide together that this is what we're doing, that we're not accepting this state, this slumber the Creator gave us.
This is the method. When the Creator shines, the shattering is revealed, and we have to continue to come another day to expect salvation, to demand the light, and hope that maybe this time we'll be able to take a true step towards connection.
We're not crying, we're not surrendering, because we are very happy that we're being worked on, that we're being taken care of, that they carry us on their hand with love.
We have to ask the Creator to give us forces to ascribe everything to Him.
Yeah, to be grateful for awakening us to Him, that eventually everything should be ascribed to Him, and ask Him to connect us in one appeal to Him.
And in this process, to deal with it all day, in this gratitude, in this scrutiny of what we want. I think this depiction of do for the friends, and I'm willing to do the exertion, it's a request that is worth going deep in with what we heard earlier in the lesson.
I don't know what to add except for, and they shall help every man his friend. Still, we're 10, every one of us receives different states, and there's a general state we're all in. Personally, I don't feel such a burdening. So I think we have to use it so that we will be a complete Kli, and we have to use everything given to us from above and to awaken each other.
Yeah, and the action that helps the most. Let's say we want to turn to the Creator. So, from today's state, how can we turn to Him? It says that every day, every moment, the prayer has to be constant. What prayer can we have from today? Come on.
Which kind of prayer? Well, such states,
each one speaks as the representative of the 10. Yeah.
Give us the strength to overcome and to see wholeness in each and every state, and the ability to work between the friends in order to give you contentment.
Don't let us forget and not to settle for one moment on the demand to work and worry for the friends.
And it doesn't matter what we feel or what we think. In our actions, we should give you contentment.
That we can see all states through your eyes, and will grasp reality through you, and we'll see the good that you want to do for us in all the experience that the desire is going through.
Help Akoka see all the goodness that you give him,
that we'll be able to work all day in ascribing everything to you,
and connect us in one appeal to you.
Amen. Amen.
So that the work will be the reward for us, so that we'll be able to see, moving on,